I'm Adrian Pendlebury.
I'm Barry Worthington.
And I'm Charlie Keegan.
And this is the Progress with Unity podcast. Good point away, Easter there.
Great draw.
Enjoyed it. Good day out.
Always a good day at Northampton. It's a lovely, lovely ground. I always find it very friendly going over there. A good result. Northampton 1, we're going to Athletic 1. A couple of surprises on the team sheet. I'll read the team out. Plough, Hughes, Morrison, Luke Chambers making his debut. Adeko Sessegnon in midfield. Tello Asgard, Marshall Godot, Jordan Jones supporting the front line of Josh McGuinness. On the bench, Matty Smith, who we mentioned here last week about the possibility of him coming back, and lo and behold, he was. Got to bring it up straight away, Matty Smith. He came on 61 minutes, and what a difference he made. I mean, can you imagine where we'd be if we'd have had him in the starting lineup all season? An absolute fabulous player.
He'd been out for something like 113 days, missed 23 games, and it took 4 minutes for him to actually put the ball through to Godot, which ended up in our goal, or in their goal. Really influential player. I didn't expect him to come back and have an impact that good straight away. But yeah, 4 minutes is all it took. It just shows you the quality. But what made me laugh, and I messaged into the group chat about it, was when he came on, the amount of pointing he was doing. And I thought, oh, we've had a pointer before in previous years. But he just came straight in, dictated the play. And one thing I really liked about Luke Chambers is Luke Chambers just listened to what everybody was saying. When he was trying to run forward, Matt Smith would say, stop there, and he would stop. And then Sean Clare would say, come back, and he'd come back. But yeah, great to see Matt Smith straight back in and dictating, and the impact he's had is incredible.
One thing that somebody tweeted, and it really did make me chuckle, it's that good, Matt Smith, that he found Josh McGuinness onside.
Yeah, I could say McGuinness always plays on the edge, doesn't he? And he needs the ball through just at the right time. So maybe that's what he's been missing. You know, you could see now McGuinness going on scoring 20 goals. Now he's got his supply line. He did well. I think we still got to ease him back carefully. Might get a few more minutes, Andy, in midweek, but you know, if he's ready to go, you'd be looking at hopefully having him as a starter in the next league game. Because he showed enough in terms of his getting up to speed itself. It's never easy coming on as a sub in midfield anyway, in that position. Wingers kind of get free hit, don't they? But he's got to be in the game straight away. He can't be messing around. And he got back straight into the game. He was happy on the ball. It's good to see. And obviously, as we mentioned the other day as well, we've got Kerr on the bench. You know, we are starting to get what... It's a bit mad that we say Matt Smith's an experienced player, but in comparison to some of the others, he is, in terms of his game time. So it's good to have those players sort of now waiting in the wings to complement the excellent young players we've got.
One thing I noticed as soon as he came on the pitch, those little patterns of play that we had early season, you think about them, especially at Bolton away and Derby, and some of the ones at home as well, where we was really, really good. They all started to click in again, a little short 1-2 passes, and his quick thinking on the free kick as well, which sets up McGuinness, you know, to feed the ball through there. It was absolutely brilliant. So it's really good to have him back, but like you say, Adam, we need to ease him back. I think this is one of the problems we've got with Babar Adeko now. I've seen a little bit of rumblings about supporters questioning Adeko's ability, but you've got to bear in mind, he's 20 years of age. This is his first season at senior level. The first three games he played for us this season, we took the first one, Carlisle away. Carlisle fans couldn't believe where we got this lad from. Looked absolutely outstanding. He's needed a rest. He's tired in his mind as well as his body, and he's not been able to get it. And he's played on the front line for us all through the season. I think he's been absolutely sensational.
He's played 29 games for Wigan already. Then you put on all the internationals that he's played. He must be up 35 or maybe beyond there. Yes, his stats are pretty good. There's a few mistakes here and there, but like you're saying, he's been on the front line. And then if you think his midfield partners have rotated between what? Asgard originally, Matt Smith, Liam Shaw, Scott Smith, now Sessegnon. There's no real consistency for him, and he's played a lot of games. And like you say, he's only 20 years old. So I don't think he should be a scapegoat. I don't think any of the players in our team should really be a scapegoat for anything, because the effort that they're doing is great. But yeah, maybe just a little bit of a break. And that's going to be eased with Matt Smith coming back. Liam Shaw's apparently got a quad issue, so I don't know how long he's going to be out, but I would probably go with a Liam Shaw and Matt Smith in a couple of weeks just to ease it on a deco.
Well, we might as well talk about that, the penalty, while we've mentioned Baba. A little bit of miscontrol in midfield, and the ball squirmed through to a Northampton player, and he was through on goal. Sam Tittle came out, made himself big, clattered in. Definitely a penalty. 100% of penalty. Hoskins, I mean, as soon as he's a quality player, and you just expect it to end in the back of the net when he steps up, and it did.
From where I was positioned, I had like really good view of that. And my first instinct was Tickle was the slight favourite, I thought, for the ball. I was expecting, like I think he did the other day against United, he did one of those, I think. And I thought he was slight favourite, and he mistimed it, I think. I wouldn't say it's a major error, but I think it's a slight error on Tickle's part, personally. Like when you mistime a tackle in the box as a defender, you wouldn't say it's a major error, but it's still a little bit of an error. Adeko had the miscontrol, but that's what your defence and your goalkeeper are there for, to get you out of trouble, aren't they? And I just think on this occasion he didn't get it quite right, but you know we're really being harsh on him there. I think, but it's because he's such a good goalkeeper that, and he's done that so many times this year, smothered it. I think I remember a breakaway against Barnsley as well where he did something like that and then set the goal up. I think it's when he rolled it out quickly and then we scored that goal. So just a little error, but fantastic all season. I won't be getting on his back saying Super Ben Amos in goal.
Looking at the match as a whole, I think there was only one other time where they really threatened our back line with any clear chance. Thought we contained them very well. And considering the run that they've been on recently, I mean, they've been on a fabulous run. They play decent football. So to go to six fields and put a performance like that, for me, it was against the run of play as well. It came on 16 minutes that, and it should have been all Latics up until that point. So I don't think they've been out there half. We just seem to lack that cutting edge up front.
Sean Maloney, in his interview at the end, he kind of compared it to Barnsley, but I think it had some ingredients of Barnsley, but what it didn't have is the creation of good chances. I mean, the only save I can really remember him making was from a set piece, wasn't it? I mean, it was a great save the Northampton keeper made from Morrison. Didn't have that sort of final clinical edge. We were missing chances against Barnsley, weren't we? In this game, we controlled the game, but maybe didn't create as many chances as we would have liked to have done. But yeah, against an informed team, he had to refer to the Northampton manager. He made those little changes at the end, I think, to get them over the line for a point. And I think he did a good job there, because it looked to me like that winner was inevitable. And then he made a couple of changes. He brought on that guy who was like 6'8". You know, he was happy with the point at the end, wasn't he? He was impressed with us and needed to neutralise us at that point.
Yeah, he said that afterwards, hadn't he, in his post-match interview about he'd set the points against us, which is compliment in itself. He was very complimentary, but especially about Tello Asgard as well. He's a quality player, and we know this. And again, he's another player who's coming for a little bit of stick recently. I just don't understand it, but we could talk about that in a moment or two. But when Smith came on, we made that substitution. Charlie, could you tell us what formation we went to? Because I have no idea.
I heard it on the Latics TV. Anthony Pillin said, Matt Smith's coming on, and so is Callum McManaman. And I'm thinking, oh, I wonder who's going to come off here. And I thought, perhaps Adeko might come off, or Sessegnon if he's getting a bit tired. And then Adeko was coming off. And then the board went up and it was Liam Morrison's number. And I thought, eh? There's no defender coming on here. And then I think the next passage of play, we had Charlie Hughes in the middle of the field. Chambers was out on the left, Sean Clare on the right. And I thought, surely we're not just going to do Charlie Hughes. But I think then Sean Clare and Chambers, especially Chambers, was coming across and slotting in more of a centre-back, which we know he can do anyway. He's been doing it at Liverpool a couple of times, and I think he did it for England in their youth. So Chambers did well, but I think it was just all-out attack at that point. It was just gung-ho, try and go for a winner.
Clare's played a bit he's not played in a two, has he? But he's played in a three, hasn't he, as a centre-back. A bit odd then, because it's like, even if he does go in as a centre-back, we still at one point had two attacking right wingers. There's no way in the world you could say wing backs, could you? And McManaman was the deeper of the two. So he essentially was the man who was supposed to fill in at right back if needs be. I mean, fortunately, they didn't really attack us, did this? It's very interesting, but you know, you'd have to say It's not the first time he's done it. I don't think he's just picking his name to have an art, is he? When he's putting the subs on, it just, I think he just wants to make the fans and the commentators think a bit and say, look, we've got to really do some proper analysis of this to work out what's going on. Not making fans' life easy. I think that's, we don't make, I'm not, when I'm saying we, I'm saying a crowd as a whole. We never make managers or players' lives easy. So I think he's throwing that back at us, isn't he?
Very exciting anyway, and I thought it was fantastic the way we set about it. And like I said before, some lovely passages of play, one touch football, and it's good to see that coming back in again. One thing what I didn't think was beneficial towards that style was the pitch. There was a lot of bobbling about of the ball, and I noticed a few times, especially later on when Johnny Smith came on, because he tends to run with the ball quite a lot. You could see the bobbles very predominantly, and Jordan Jones as well. He was having a few issues with the ball bobbling about. But I've got to mention Jordan Jones. I thought he had a step back up again, hasn't he? He's brought his form back, and I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah.
I don't think there's more of a difficult right back you want to go up against than McGowan. I thought he was all over Jordan Jones the whole game and he did very well. There was the one where Jordan Jones went down in the box late on and initially I said penalty, but then looking back, it was just great challenge. Just got his leg and he hooked it around, got the ball and then tried to start a counter attack. But he, yeah, Jordan Jones did well. It just wasn't a performance that I think I've become used to with him. I expect just a bit better on the crosses and a bit better on the deliveries, and we've not really had that. But for a player to get you forward and try and get it to the byline and drill it across, he does that all the time, and I think he did well.
The stats from yesterday, Latics had 65% possession. Attempts on goal, Northampton 7, Latics 11, 2 apiece on target. Corners, 9-1 in Latics' favour. Fouls, Northampton committed 17, the Latics 10. Northampton picked up 3 yellows to the Latics 5. Our players booked Tittle for the penalty. Hughes, Jones, Wyke, and Matty Smith. Matty Smith picked up a few bookings before he got his injury, and he picked up one yesterday for grabbing the midriff of an attacking player and stopping him breaking from the halfway line. A good bit of professionalism, something you like to see.
Luckily, we've gone through that point, haven't we, now, where it's gone up to 10, hasn't it, now?
Yeah, it'll soon be 15.
But Morsi needed that 15, didn't he? He had 14, didn't he, for about 12 matches.
Yeah, so those stats, I think it spells out how dominant we were in this game. Quite a lot more efforts on goal. We had a lot more possession of the ball. Still, we couldn't quite break them down. I think we just like that cutting edge yesterday. The attendance was 6,664, with 622 visiting from Wigan. So well done to everybody who went. The man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter, Latics number 24, debutant Luke Chambers. Congratulations there. So he's made a big impression on the supporters. What did we make of his contribution yesterday overall? Good debut.
Yeah, very good. I think he settled into a new team very well. I didn't expect him to play a full 90, if I'm honest, straight coming from Liverpool, but you can see why Klopp has got so much excitement for him and has trusted him at times. Down the left wing, he's good. He can get on the inversion, try and cut inside, but he also can try and support Jordan Jones, who I don't think Jordan Jones utilised him enough, if I'm honest, and that's just going to come with time. But I think Chambers is good defensively, especially on the cover. There was a few Northampton counter-attacks that were going down their left to our right, and Chambers was running across the field and cutting it out and playing the ball back to Tickle. And yeah, I thought he did well, but to me, I think it was between Chambers, Asgard, and Matt Smith, the man of the match, to be honest. I think all three of them were big standouts.
Yeah, I'd ask Session in there as well. I thought he had a really good game in midfield. But it doesn't surprise you, really, coming from Liverpool, because you know in recent years they've been renowned for having really good fullbacks, haven't they, in the first team for different reasons. Obviously, we know Alexander Arnold is more of a attacking, but the right back who's coming, I forget his name, who's coming recently, played a few games for Liverpool. He's a young lad. He looks exceptional. And obviously on the left, he's learning off people like Gomez and Andy Robertson, you know, so he's got good people there to look up to, and should have given him words of wisdom, and fitted in very, very nicely. It was hard to give a man of the match yesterday because I think everyone was solid. I'd say solid, but not spectacular. That's probably what, 7 out of 10s, which if everyone's 7 out of 10 every week, you don't lose many games, do you?
That was William Richardson's formula for getting promoted, weren't it? 7 out of 10 across the board. Yeah, I thought he had a good game. He got past Jones a few times, didn't he, on the overlap. And like you said, Charlie, he didn't quite utilise him as much as perhaps. But that understanding will come come with it a bit more. I think he put a cross in the first couple of minutes, didn't he, when he bombed down the left and it went across and they cut it out. Congratulations there, Luke, on your Man of the Match accolade in your first game. There's a lot of praises today for the Latics by neutrals and on the Northampton timeline, in the press, in the stands. Adam spoke to people, a local vicar who was singing the praises. Yeah. But one look at the WAFC timeline last night, it's not something I tend to do a lot, this on Twitter, but last night I did. And do you know what? I was embarrassed. Some of the stuff that people are coming out with.
It's not just on Twitter, though. It's someone behind me, and I gave them a glare when he was giving Asgard stick. I didn't understand it. Look, everyone's got the right to opinion, and it wasn't abusive. It was just wasn't encouraging, and plain wrong as far as I'm concerned. Like, it's not like calling someone out, you know, for being abusive or racist or anything like that. But I just thought, I don't know what game some people are actually watching at times. I don't think they're watching the same game as me. You know, I thought Asgard again had a good game, and I thought he was man of the match, the Man United as well. You know, and he's only easing himself back in, isn't he? Had quite a period on the sidelines. So yeah, I don't get it. And then
what you find, Adam, is a lot of people answering are having to reiterate the fact what's happened to the club over the last 12 months, the fact that we're in a situation where, you know, you just feel like a broken record. Keep saying it. We can't sign players for any money. People have walked out the club. There's no backroom staff. Sean Maloney is working with one hand tied behind his back. He's running the old club himself. The supporters club are running a lot of the off-the-field stuff that's going on. We're in a club coming out of a crisis. You know, we're coming out of a crisis. Things don't get fixed overnight. And to think that we should be further up the league than what we are, we should be. If they give us our 8 points back, we'd be 10th. And would people still be complaining then? From reading what I've been reading, I'd assume so. I just don't get it at all. I know Charlie went through the squad as well, talking about the players who not played before this season. To think where we've come to now, where we were and where we are.
The -8 has thrown people for a loop and nobody really knows how to support the team, us being so far down. But that's the fact of the matter. If we had the -8 given back and everything else stayed the same, the embargo and everything, just because we would be higher up the table, I don't think there'd be that much noise about it. But it's just purely in our position. But we've got the most wins outside the top 9. We've got the best defense in the bottom half of the league. We should be 10th. We should be higher up than we are. Well, I think that I also didn't expect us to be this good this season. And I think that yes, we're in 18th. It's not great to look at, and it just feels a bit of a slog at times. But I think zooming out and looking at the big picture, we're doing extremely well. And we talk about Adiko making mistakes or Asgard perhaps not being the player that I really wanted him to be just yet. But these are so young. Asgard's 21 and has played over 100 games for Latics. And we talk about burnout. These are players that are playing week in, week out, trying to get us up the table. And I think every credit needs to go to him. I think it's great.
Totally agree. And if we're happy clappers, we're happy clappers. I don't care. You know, my love is Wigan Athletic. Some sad news coming out this morning. Bolton's game against Cheltenham was abandoned yesterday due to a medical emergency in the stand. And unfortunately, it's been announced that the person involved has sadly passed away. Sent our condolences from the podcast via social media. And I'd just like to reiterate that. It's an awful situation for everybody involved, for other fans to witness as well. Condolences go out to our neighbours, Bolton Wanderers.
I concur with that. It's been a very sad week for football as well, obviously. Condolences as well to the young Grimsby player who was sadly killed in a road traffic accident. It's not been a good week for football at all, and it puts in perspective sometimes, you know, when we're actually moaning about a bad pass on the pitch. Some things are a lot bigger than football.
And the Reading game yesterday was abandoned as well due to fans going onto the pitch in protest against Dai Young, the owner, wanting him out, want the EFL to step in. Apparently, they can't do anything just yet until the new law comes through, which will be in February. But in the meantime, we've got them on Saturday, so we'll be speaking with Elm Park Royals later in the week and see if there's anything practical that we can do to highlight their plight. And we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Loan watch, Charlie.
Yeah, we've had three players go out on loan in the last week. We've had James Carragher at Inverness Caledonian Thistle, I think is how you say it. But the Scottish Championship side, I think they were 7th going into the game, playing against Dundee. Dundee are 2nd, and I watched the game, really, really good. James Carragher did very good in that game. Obviously needs a little bit more time to get going, but strong challenges. How he avoided yellows for a lot of them, I don't know, but he did. And he did well. And then Joe Adams off to Morecambe. I watched the highlights, and I've had a lot of Morecambe fans messaging saying just how good he was. And the Morecambe reporter seemed to be really happy with him. He got supporters, player of the match, I think it was. So, yeah, Joe Adams did well. And Ethan Mitchell, the under-21s captain, has gone to AFC Fylde and he played Avonlea FC, who were a league below them, playing the FA Trophy, but they lost that 1-0. So, no, everybody's happy with Ethan Mitchell as well, it seems.
Excellent stuff. Talking about trophy games, we've got a trophy game on Tuesday. Nice little link there, straight into it. Doncaster Rovers away at the Keep Moat. So we'll just do a quick preview on this one. The manager, Grant McCann, who was in charge of Hull City when we beat them at 8-0 back in July 2020. He's been on the wrong end of a latex piercing.
I'll tell you something else about him. He celebrated like they'd won the World Cup when Peterborough beat us 3-2 a few seasons ago, going around doing a lap of honour. Deserved that 8-0 battering, didn't they?
Wants to watch. I'd pick out from the team to Joe Ironside.
He used to play for Cambridge. He actually played against Latics a couple of times before. The last time he got an assist and the time before he got a goal and assist when he was playing in the 21-22 season, I think it was. But this season, Doncaster has got 15 goals and 5 assists in 33 appearances. But I was looking at their second highest scorer, Mo Fahl. He's on loan from West Brom. He's been at AFC Fylde and Telford before and scored 15 goals in the Premier League 2 season. And at Fylde, I think he got 6 goals in 4 games. And then he went back to West Brom, tried to get a bit of a home here on loan at Doncaster, but allegedly fallen out with Doncaster and he's walked out. So West Brom wanted him to stay. Grant McCann wanted him to stay, but apparently it was an agent talk and his agent, I think, is touting him for a move at a League One club. So if there's any clubs that need a striker, Wigan Athletic, try and get him. But I know, I think a bit of a poor attitude there. But no, Luke Molyneux is another one as well. 25-year-old midfielder, got joined on a free in 2022 summer, I think. But he's got 3 goals and 6 assists in 36 and he's a seems to play a lot in their midfield for them. So I think he's going to be the one to drive them forward.
It all depends on what side they put out as well, doesn't it? I think they've been taking the trophy games a little bit seriously. They beat Everton 2-0 and they beat Burton 2-1 in the group stages, although they lost at Mansfield 3-2. But they got through against Nottingham Forest 3-0 in the first knockout round. The referee for the game is Ollie Yates from Staffordshire. He's been on the national list since the 2016-17 season. He's refereed the Latics 3 times previously. 2 away days, one at Cheltenham in October 2020, which was a defeat, and Wimbledon in October 2021, which we won 2-0. Last Latics game came on the 7th of November this season. It was against Peterborough, down at the DW Stadium, where we won 2-1 in what was a really good game of football. Guard watch. Ollie Yates has been in charge of 22 games this season. He's issued 94 yellows, 6 reds, and awarded 7 penalties. An easier ref for Tuesday evening at the Keep Moat.
Met Doncaster 39 times down the years, winning 18, making 10 draws and losing 11. We have won all of our last 6 meetings, all coming in League One, and our last defeat came in an infamous game back in 2016, 3-1 at the Keep Moat. I remember that day, it snowed on the way back and we got stuck. We met twice previously in the EFL Trophy, both on the home soil, back in 1990, losing 2-1 at Springfield Park. And then in 2002, we lost 1-0 at the JJB. And I think I'm right in saying this was a particular year where they let in some non-league teams. I think Doncaster were a non-league team that season. Been an interesting game. Very difficult to predict. Given the fact that Josh McGuinness and Sean Maloney mentioned it on a couple of occasions, they obviously see it as a big game. There is a quality gap. If we play to our potential, we will win the game. I think we'll play a reasonable side. We have done for this competition. So I think we could get a 2-0 win.
2-0 to the Ticks. Well, it's the sort of scoreline that I'd be going for that. In fact, it is the scoreline I'm going for. I'm going for us to progress through to the next round by 2-0.
Yeah, I think we're going to take it seriously. I hope that we see Jason Kerr starting. I think there'll be a good game for him and maybe rotate slightly, but not too much. But Doncaster are 20th in League 2 and we breezed by Stockport, who are leading League 2. So really, we shouldn't have any problem in this anyway. So I'm going to go with a 4-1 win to Latics.
That's a fabulous scoreline, that, Charlie. Well, we'll be back on Wednesday to see how close we got. With all the reaction to the Doncaster game, we'll be speaking to Ellen Park Royals about some of the trials and tribulations going on at Reading, and we'll be previewing that game as well. So until Wednesday, up the Ticks and come on.
Up the Ticks.
Up the Ticks.